All right, kids, you got your candles ready. In a few minutes, the fire will be coming to you. So get those candles ready and don't try this at home. But before that, I want to talk to you about movies. Any of you kids like movies? Yeah? Who likes the Polar Express? That's got to be like one of my favorite movies. Yeah. Some of you like the Polar Express? Yeah. What about Elf? That's a Christmas favorite there, eh? And what about this classic movie? It's A Wonderful Life. Any fans of that 1946 movie where George Bailey gets a chance to see what the world would have been like if he had never been born? Well, I submit to you on Christmas Eve that if Jesus had never been born, there would be an incredible gaping hole in our world. Jesus's birth is the number one most celebrated birthday in the whole world. Who's number two? And we see this demonstrated how he has affected history in so many ways. Let me just talk for about 10 minutes about two ways. Number one, Jesus's influence upon the arts. We all have desire for the transcendent, for something beyond ourselves. Any fans of the music group, The Grateful Dead? Any deadheads in the crowd? Okay, there's a couple, not too many. Yeah, there's more Swifties probably, eh? But Mickey Hart from The Grateful Dead was asked why the band was so fascinated with the multiphonic chanting of the Tibetan Lamas. And he replied this, because we are both in the transportation business. We crave beauty and art to transport us to a higher plane. Art, whether it's through music, through dance, through theater, through poetry, through visual arts, invites our hearts into a deeper reality. Art is the language of inspiration, the signal of transcendence. It would not be an exaggeration to say that in the last 2,000 years, Jesus has had the greatest influence upon the arts, that Jesus is without parallel in terms of inspiration of the arts. What if Jesus had never been born? If Jesus had never come, the world would be poor in the realm of the arts. More poems have been written, more stories told, more paintings done, more songs sung about this one born in Bethlehem than any other person in human history. I think of Jesus's influence on visual art. What about those two pieces of work, Madonna of the Stars or the Sistine Chapel? Who produced these famous works of art? Michelangelo. The Statue of David, his work on Pietà, other well-known works. Michelangelo was a devout Christian whose walk with God was reflected in his artwork. What about these two pieces? Who produced The Last Supper and the Mona Lisa? Da Vinci, right? This versatile human being was blessed with so many beautiful paintings that were inspired by Jesus. Or what about these pieces? The Return of the Prodigal Son or The Storm in the Sea of Galilee? Who produced these? Rembrandt. So many have been influenced by Jesus. And we could talk about so many, many artists. What about Jesus' influence on literature? I think of this book, Pilgrim's Progress, which is a parable of the Christian life. John Bunyan wrote that in 1678. It's one of the most widely published, widely read books in the history of the world. Are any fans of the Chronicles of Narnia? Any kids fans of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? And again, that was a famous author, C.S. Lewis, a committed Christian, and his children's work and adult writings influence us to this day. Now, kids, if you find a big box under your Christmas tree tonight, and it feels like a book, maybe it's this 1,500-page treatise, War and Peace, by Leo Tolstoy. You're thinking, hopefully not, eh? But he said this, quote, men only need to trust in Christ's teaching and obey it, and there will be peace on this earth. And God knows we need that at this time. Or what about this book, A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens, another magnificent writer of English literature. He said the greatest story ever told was Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. And his book, A Christmas Carol, is on the transformation of miserly Scrooge. It's perhaps a parable of Christian conversion. In his book, The Life of Our Lord, he begins with these words, "My dear children, I'm very anxious that you should know something about the history of Jesus Christ, for everybody ought to know about him. No one ever lived who was so good, so kind, so gentle, and so sorry for all people who did wrong or were of any way ill or miserable as he was." And one last author, The Ugly Duckling. Any of you kids like that story? That's probably his most famous book. Hans Christian Andersen, and another one, The Little Mermaid, which was turned into a Disney movie this year. And so many of his stories talk about God and angels, etc. And we have, you know, the invention of the Gutenberg Press, which was perhaps the world's first printing press, with the Bible being the first book printed upon it. I think also of Jesus' influence on music. Anybody recognize these two good-looking men there? You know, from the Baroque era, Handel and Bach, you know, and who hasn't been transported by Handel's Messiah with its famous Hallelujah chorus, or by the work of Johann Sebastian Bach? They were both committed Christians who wanted to do their work for the glory of God. In fact, Bach would sign all of his manuscripts with these three letters, SDG. Referring to soli Deo Gloria, Latin for solely to the glory of God. That's what he produced his music for. And he would begin with the initials JJ, Yehu Yubin, Jesus help me. You know, we have all been transported by music because music lifts the soul. Somebody asked me before this service what my favorite Christmas carol was. And I said, it was in... My daughter Kelsey was in grade six a few years back. It was the winter Christmas concert, and the kids were all performing their pieces. And you know how it is, you know, middle school and gymnasium and not so great a sound system. But then a grade six girl got up there and sang, "Hallelujah, Light Has Come" by the Barlow Sisters. And I was transported. I sensed God in that moment. And you've had experiences like that also. This person, Jesus, his life, his message has inspired the world that there is a transcendent God and that this God is love. And that makes Jesus unique from so many other religions or world philosophies. Jesus teaches us that God is personal, that God can be known, that we can experience him and his love individually. Today we have the writings of Homer, such as Homer's Iliad. But no one today on earth sings, "Zeus loves me, this I know, for the Iliad tells me so." You know, we don't sing songs like that. Jesus came to show us the Father's love. Jesus is the only person to have a Grammy category named after him, gospel music. Isn't it fascinating that Jesus' face is the most recognizable face in the whole world, and yet no one knows what he actually looked like? He never wrote a book, but he's the most written about person ever. He never wrote a song, but he's the subject of more songs and music than any other human being. He never painted a portrait or picture, but he's the subject of more paintings than anyone else. Art causes our souls to be transported. We experience transcendence. The last line of the musical, Les Miserables, says this, "To love another person is to see the face of God." To love another person is to see the face of God. And Jesus has influenced the trajectory of our world through his compassion, because his followers have shared in his heart of love, justice, mercy, and compassion. We see this word compassion regularly used in the Gospels to describe Jesus. Mark 1:41, "Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. 'I'm willing,' he said, 'be healed.' And he healed a leper." Or Matthew records that he healed all the sick among them. And we see that Jesus' followers followed this pattern also of healing people, administering care and compassion. This may be the oldest hospital in the world that's functioning still today. It's the Hotel Dieu. Dieu is the French word for God. in Paris, France. It was established by Saint Landry in 651 AD, run by the Catholic Church for many, many years. The oldest hospital in the Americas today that's still operating is Jesus of Nazareth Hospital in Mexico City. The Council of Nicaea, which affirmed the Nicene Creed, also decreed that whenever a cathedral was built, there ought to also be a hospital. Indeed, so many hospitals around the world have names like St. Paul's in Vancouver, or St. Mary's, where I was born, in Kitchener, Ontario, or Hospital of the Good Samaritan or Good Shepherd, etc. Christians have always believed, inspired by Jesus, that beliefs ought to translate into action, that our hearts ought to be filled with Jesus' love, his compassion and care. We see that with the start of nursing. One of the founders of the modern nursing movement would be this woman, Florence Nightingale, the lady with the lamp. And she said this, quote, "The kingdom of heaven is within, but we must also make it without." She bound up the wounded and the dying and was influential in the training of thousands of nurses. If Jesus had never been born, there would be no Florence Nightingale. There would be no Red Cross. When I think of Jesus' compassion, I think of his influence upon Jean Henri Dunant, who couldn't bear to see soldiers wounded in battle, crying out in pain. And so this follower of Jesus, this member of the Church Awakening, devoted his life to help others in Jesus' name. He launched this organization in 1860 that would become known as the Red Cross. This is how he describes his calling. "In this state of pent-up emotion which filled my heart, I was aware of an intuition, vague and yet profound, that when my work was an instrument of his will, it seemed to me that I had to accomplish it as a sacred duty. It was destined to have fruits of infinite consequence for mankind." If Jesus had never been born, there would be no Red Cross, nor would there be the YMCA, which he also founded. And he was awarded in 1901 the first ever Nobel Peace Prize. Ruth Tucker writes, "The ministry of missionary medicine during the 20th century has been without a doubt the greatest humanitarian effort the world has ever known." She points out that as late as the mid-1930s, over half the hospitals in China were run by Christian missionaries. I could talk about Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, Compassion International, Salvation Army, etc. So many organizations founded by followers of Jesus who were filled with his compassion. It's so good tonight to be able to support MCC with the intense suffering that's happening there in Israel and Gaza. And to be, as Karen said, you know, his hands and his feet there in that place of suffering. And Jesus' followers have always had compassion on the unhoused. I was reminded that this summer. We have a daughter who lives over in Victoria, and we were visiting her. And so my wife Sheila and her were going in some stores downtown Victoria, and I don't really like shopping that much, so I was trying to get my 10,000 steps in, so I kept walking, and as I was walking, I walked by a guy who was unhoused. You know, he had his stuff there, including his sleeping bag, and I did something that, you know, none of you ever do. You know, I looked at him and just kind of kept walking by him, and I thought, well, you know, I'm not in a hurry. I've got nothing pressing. I might as well go back and chat with him, see if he wants something. So I went up to him, introduced myself, and said, "Hey, would you like a sandwich or coffee from Starbucks?" And he said, "Well, what are you having? I'll have the same." So I went in and, you know, got him something, and you know, introduced myself, and I said, "Hey, what's your name?" And he said, "My name is Emmanuel." And we kept talking. I heard a little bit about his story, and then I said, "Emmanuel, do you know what your name means?" And then he said, "Stop. You must be one of those Christians." And I got to admit that sometimes when people say that to me, I kind of cringe, eh? Because, okay, now what about the Christians are they going to say? But I said, "Oh, you've met other Christians." And he said, "Oh, yeah, all kinds of Christians have told me that my name means God with us." And at that moment, I was very proud of my tribe of Christians, people who have obviously stopped and bought him a coffee or a sandwich and have taken the time to get to know his name and his story. And we see that here in the Peninsula as the extreme weather shelters through the years, as Apkar mentioned about churches supporting him. And churches, you know, since the earliest days, Star of the Sea, a Catholic parish, have taken in the unhoused, and Peninsula United, Peace Portal for 1 year, Mount Olive Lutheran for a couple years. I see it across our city, Surrey Alliance Church taking people in, Pacific Community Church, and Christian ministries such as Sums and Night Shift, housing the homeless. I'm not saying that Christians are the only people of compassion. What I am saying is that Jesus has influenced this movement of justice and compassion in our world. We look to the one who is born in the manger, and we see a life of mercy and love, and know that he asks us to do the same. And it's great to support Apkar in the work that he's doing here on the peninsula. And he could tell you stories about people that he served last winter who today are no longer alive. And that's just tragic. We have probably 80 plus unhoused people here in South Surrey, White Rock. We do a community dinner here on Sunday nights, and last Sunday we fed over 200 people for our Christmas dinner. Two other churches also do community dinners here on the peninsula. I'm grateful for the Rotary Club restarting Feed My City here. The one born in the manger said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Every Sunday we pray for people here at the front of the church, people who need healing. You're welcome any Sunday morning at 10 o'clock to come. If you have a need, we will pray for you. Healing people, feeding people, housing people, alleviating suffering, that's what Jesus called us to do, to be people of mercy and action and justice. We live lives of love because he first loved us. He came from heaven, surrounded by animals, born in that manger, in a stable. And we reach up to God, desiring to be transported for transcendence. It is deep in the soul of every single one of us. This longing for transcendence has been given to us by God himself. And it's possible to do that, to connect with God, because he has reached down. God can be known. God can be loved. He can be experienced. Even tonight, even this Christmas season, you can surrender your life to God, the God who loves you, who knows you, of all the people here on this planet. In Bethlehem, God came near, and I invite you to experience him by surrendering your life to him. Well, I think it's time to light the Christ candle now. So let's read from John's Gospel, John chapter 1, these words for the reading of the Christ candle. Do we have the words there? There it is. Let's read together. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let's light the Christ candle now. And I'll invite our staff to come and to help distribute the light. So kids, you can grab your candles now. We have lit these four other candles. The candle of hope we began with on the first Sunday of Advent. Then the candle of peace. And then the candle of joy. And then earlier this evening, the candle of love. And so you can take your candle in hand, and the staff will come around and we'll begin to pass that light. And so you can receive the light, and then you can pass it on to the person beside you or behind you or in front of you. Jesus, the one who said, "I am the light of the world." He came into a world filled with darkness. and brought light. He is that light. And he invites you to know this light, to experience this light that's found in his life. I was reflecting this morning on Matthew chapter 1, the Christmas account where the angel comes to Joseph. And the angel says to Joseph, you are to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That we all need a Savior. And I was kind of picturing this morning that it's like we as people are at the bottom here on earth, the bottom of a staircase, and God is up at the top of the staircase, and we can't go up ourselves, but he came down. Friends, he came down for you. The angel also said, you will call this child Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us. God can be experienced.